Available at Hewlett.org.
Well, good morning. It's time for the Sustainable Living Program with John Butts. John is here every other Monday, trading off with E. Prang Plews, and John is back, dressed very warmly for the weather. Hey, John, how are you?
Real good, Rob, and how about you?
I'm good.
Have a nice weekend.
That was beautiful.
Kind of cloudy Sunday.
Yeah, it rained a little bit Sunday. I was out in the rain, didn't mind it at all.
Yeah. This is as my wife would say, this weather is to die for.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Something like that. I'd like to start by thanking our listener supporters. That's you out there listening, and for all this wonderful radio station that you've provided for us over the years by your contributions. Thank you. So what's up at 11, and maybe what is Sean in today, or is he?
Sean is in today, and at 12 noon he's going to talk about how the tax cut proposal in Congress is going to affect graduate students. So that's coming up today at noon on Sean Show.
And at 11 o'clock, we're going to...
Well, we're going to hear Florida this week. We're going to hear about some state and local politics. And we're going to listen back to the controversy involving President Trump and his treatment of women. So we'll talk about that a little bit between 11 and 12 this morning.
Certainly isn't a lack of stuff to talk about, Israel. kind of thinking about this last night... I guess it was last week, I heard a little bit on the news about that there was this new initiative to find life out in the universe somewhere, and how really perfect our planet is and how we kind of take it for granted. And, of course, we talk about that on this program, that the problems of climate change and what humans do. And I don't know, it kind of makes me feel funny because I know there isn't another place. It's like being in the ocean on a boat with no life preservers or no life jackets, and that's all we have is that boat, and it goes down, we're going to go with it. But anyhow, I think about that quite a bit. Sustainability means a lot of different things to different people, and it covers just about anything that we're involved with. I think we can apply that to sustainable living. And today we're going to talk about permaculture, which is kind of like the same as sustainable living. It's kind of working with the natural environment, and it's kind of the opposite of what we as humans normally do. And on today's Sustainable Living program, we'll be talking about permaculture and the upcoming Florida Permaculture Convergence. And our guests are a couple of the organizers and presenters at this year's convergence. First is I got a little problem. I got a noise in the air studio here. I don't know what it is, but we have some duct tape or something. But our first guest is the former UF, University of Florida, County Extension Agent. He was a Peace Corps volunteer, and he's a master of appropriate technology, organic farming, edible and native plants, resource reutilization, composting, and working permaculture. I have to say, Wendell and his wife, Nancy, are some of the most sustainable folks I've ever met in my life. Welcome back, Wendell Martinovic.
Thank you, John. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for hosting us again on your Sustainable Living Show, my favorite program on our favorite community radio station. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's an honor to have you, and you know, like the little introduction, Wendell does a lot more than that, and I so much appreciate what I've learned from Wendell. He's been one of my mentors and one of my very best friends. Another presenter and organizer at this year's convergence calls Daytona Beach her home, where she teaches about minimalism, permaculture, cooperation, and community. Jenny does workshops on some of my favorite topics, like solar ovens, rocket stoves, composting, appropriate technology, and one of our favorite topics here on the Sustainable Living Show, composting toilets. Welcome back. Jenny Nasek. You there, Jenny?
Thank you so much. Yes, John, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really honored to be on here again. Thank you.
Well, I'm honored to have you. And I just want to ask you, kind of going to jump in there with Wendell about the convergence, but I just want to ask you about that riot for austerity. Could you tell us about that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the Riot for Austerity is a grassroots movement of everyday people who are voluntarily reducing their footprint to an extremely small percentage of the U.S. average. There are actually two bloggers who I met back in 2007, met them online via Blogiverse, and they spearheaded a movement based on this one book by a climate science, activist and journalist named George, and I believe the last name pronunciation is Monbiot. It looks like a French last name, but he's a well-known climate activist and journalist. And he wrote how if we want to forestall climate disaster, we basically have to roll back to 10% of the U.S. average footprint. Now, people in a lot of countries all over the world are already living at a very tiny fraction of the U.S. average footprint, but the U.S. is kind of like driving consumption in the world, so we're kind of the ones that need to do the cutback. So these two citizens took it upon themselves to start a movement based on this, and I stumbled on that movement and got into it. And so there's a lot of us voluntarily cutting our footprint. And sorry, that's kind of a long-winded explanation. And then this past summer, I published a book called Deep Green that was inspired by the whole Riot for Austerity and how I implement it, like my version of it, because everybody would have their own version of it. If you live out in the country, your version of a low footprint life is going to look different than if you're an urban dweller like me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, Jenny. Thank you so much for what you do and that explanation. Wendell, golly, you know, I kind of, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I wanted to start first about a little story about a chemical company. And Wendell, when he worked for the University of Florida, worked as part of his job was to work on this thing called, what was it, Chemically Speaking?
Yes.
And it was a publication. And do they still do that?
Yes, they do. I believe it's only online, though, now.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I was reading this while it was still in a print version, and it was about the Scotts Chemical Company. Do you kind of remember that story?
Well, Scotts has been a big sponsor of the Master Gardener program. And so they promote their chemical fertilizers and other products all over the country to all Master Garden programs. So I don't know what to say other than that.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and say.
You tell me.
Okay.
You say it.
Okay. It was Scotts was making bird feed. And the rats were getting in the bird feed in the warehouse. So what they did is they put poison in the bird seed. And this is hard to believe. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I read it, but it was in Chemically Speaking, and Wendell was there, you know, editing everything. So, but the reality is just, you think of, and they did this for years, years and years and years. And you think about all these people feeding these birds, the bird seed with rat poison in it. You know, how in the world does capitalism work? You know, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. But anyhow, tell us about the conversion.
Well, I will say that I left that position in 1996, so okay. I wasn't there when that actually happened, thank goodness. I had to unlearn a lot of things I learned there at my land-grant university. So about the upcoming 2017 Florida Permaculture Convergence, it will be held Friday, December 1st through Sunday, December 3rd, and this year's event is being held again at the Kashi Ashram on the east coast of Florida in Sebastian. Kashi Ashram is an interfaith community and spiritual destination nestled on 80 acres along the St. Sebastian River. The website for the convergence is flpermacultureconvergence.com. That's spelled out permaculture and convergence. The theme of this year's event is Earth, Land, and Soil. Full registration includes delicious organic vegetarian meals, weekend-long camping with outdoor composting, toilets, and showers provided. Indoor lodging options are also available through Kashi Ashram. I'd like to mention that in the fall pledge drive here at WMNF, we gave away two free passes for this convergence. And I want to just mention Lily Carlos from Connaughton Farms in Dunedin won those two free passes. We've tried to communicate with Lily but haven't confirmed that, but want to let her know that she can just show up at the event and she will have two passes waiting for her for that for the event. We have quite a few new activities this year I'd like to share. The first one is we will have an expert panel on strategies for intensive regenerative agriculture in Florida featuring Corrine Brennan, Robert Bowden, Bill Bilodeau, Andy Firk, and Josh Jameson. And this panel is considered our keynote presentation. It will be an interactive 90-minute discussion. We also have expanded our children's program at the Convergence. We will have the Earth Child program by the Mother Nature School in our kids' village, and the children will have the option to choose from activity stations and participate in yoga, meditation, plant walks, sing-alongs, seed ball making, pollinator station, playground time, and other activities. We're really excited about that addition to our children's program. We also will have an Earth Art Village with the Florida artist Johnny Dame Jr. We're doing a variety of natural arts and demonstrations to help reunite us to nature. We create paints from local plants and then make our own paintings to take home. And we'll also create a mural to describe the importance of Florida waterways. Related to this radio station, we'll also have Friday night. Now we've decided to have an open mic community forum night for people to share what they've been doing across the state and also ask questions to get to know each other better. And finally, the biggest activity we're adding this year is a Florida Permaculture Grant Program. The Florida Permaculture Convergence was formed to create space for collaboration and celebrating the practice of permaculture. Our goal is to encourage beneficial relationships and extend influence to future generations through our principles of ecology by design. These principles are the time-tested expressions of what works in nature. Following last year's event and a desire to better fulfill this mission, our committee created a grant program this summer to award permaculture projects. This year we have $1,000 to fund two projects, and since the summer we have been accepting grant applications at our website, again, floridapermacultureconvergence.org. Grant applications will then be voted on by our community, and the projects will be awarded at the Convergence.
Cool. Well, I think what everybody wants to know, who are some of the presenters? Of course, Jenny, and you are, and you're doing Jenny, what kind of a workshop are you doing?
Wendell and I are going to be talking about composting toilets and demonstrating as simple systems and encouraging people to get into it because it's very easy and beneficial.
Cool. And who else is going to be there?
Composting toilets, you know, I think using a composting toilet is one of the most impactful things individuals can do in their lives, and I think we really need to think about it more. We will have Corrine Brennan speaking about resilience in disasters, Josh Jameson on building soil, Mallory Foster, who's from the university, she'll be speaking about working with local governments. The Orlando Permaculture Group will be presenting an update on their projects, which is the Peanut Butter Garden. Erica Clough will be doing garden design, installation, and maintenance. We'll also have a second panel on healthy ecosystems with Jungle J. Hardman, Tom Carroll, and Bill Bilodeau. Andy Firk will be talking about where land meets the ocean. Joe Pierce will be doing something about biochar pizza ovens. So we've got a really wonderful list of presenters this year.
And when is it again?
It's December 1st. Friday, December 1st through Sunday, December 3rd.
Okay, great. And that's on the other coast.
Over on Sebastian, beautiful beaches there by the Wabasso Beach. Some of the best surfing in Florida is right over there. So we really encourage people to come. We had about 125 people attended last year. Jenny helped me. We were in charge of the composting toilets for all the people, and it went really smoothly. And they saved that compost for a year and now are using it in their sustainable Kashi project. So we welcome everyone to come to the event.
You do such important stuff, Wendell. You really do. Well, Jenny, I tell you, I was looking at some of your stuff here, and I was wondering about this hay bale cooking. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, thank you. It's actually called hay box cooking.
Okay.
And what it is you make an insulated box of any kind. It could even just be a cooler. But it got the name hay box cooking because that was the original one. Basically, people discovered a way to further reduce the amount of fuel used in cooking. What you can do when there's food being cooked in water or other liquid is cook it to a certain degree, but then you can turn off the heat input and put your food and put your pot in this insulated box, and the food will finish cooking by itself. It's good for rice and beans. It's good for stews and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And also, you do them on rocket stoves. I mean, you do workshops on rocket stoves?
I have. Interestingly enough, I have not done workshops since I came to Florida.
Really?
I had all kinds of, when I was in Texas, it felt like I was constantly doing workshops. And when I moved to my community in Florida, it just didn't seem like the interest was there. Mm-hmm. It could be that the time will come again. But yeah, it's pretty easy to make a little stove that will let you can cook your food, cook a meal using a handful of twigs.
Mm-hmm. I really got a kick out of it was a couple months ago that we had Ian Wolfenden with Home Power magazine on, and he was talking about that. What is it? African Clean Energy? Was it that the rocket stove manufacturers in Africa? And the latest Home Power that just came out, I just got it in the mail last week, was this article that Ian had written about the rocket stoves and all the beneficial things that are. For especially third world countries, but it was really nice.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
That's a really important point. I'll have to read that article. I look forward to it. A lot of people talk about these technologies, these appropriate technologies, and how useful they are for third world countries, which is true. Because, for example, if you're in an African country and you're a woman who has to walk really far to gather enough firewood to cook her family's meals, and you're subject to the threat of violence and rape. I mean, it's a life or death matter. However, here in the rich first world, we are hogging the world's resources. So those of us who care, it's every bit as important for us to adopt these kinds of appropriate technologies and to popularize them. We have to make it cool. We have to make it popular. So it'll catch on. It's very much a life and death matter.
Uh-huh. And that's Jenny Nasak, and she's over there. She's going to be one of the presenters at the Permaculture Conference. I was going to, I forgot what I was saying. Rob's going to, Wendell's, rocket stoves versus solar ovens. You know?
Oh, yeah, and it's not even a versus, it's an and.
Both. And of course, this kind of came out over the weekend. It was on NPR. There was a little piece on NPR about that all of a sudden that these dietary rules are changing for food, and they're going, saturated fat, really, it wasn't that bad. And of course, I think this is kind of the whole thing. It comes out, it's the same thing. It's these food corporations that kind of send the money to the American Heart Association, and then they come up with these guidelines that don't mean much. But kind of going back to composting toilets, National Geographic a couple months ago had this whole article. And like you were saying, Jennifer, like in third world countries, it's the same problem. It's like a woman has to go to the bathroom. She has to walk out in the woods. Well, she gets raped, beat up, or whatever. And then, of course, the obvious sanitary problems. And, I kind of read the article, and I'm scratching my head. And there was no mention. There was a little bit about composting toilets, but it was very brief, but it was mostly, you dig a hole and you bury the stuff, instead of, reusing it. And, in the whole article, they never mentioned Joe Jenkins in the compost manure handbook, humanure handbook is what it was. But
the humanure handbook.
Yeah. And it just kind of all the time, I'm always like, you see what the mainstream is looking at, and you look on the other side, or you listen to WMNF, and you get a whole different kind of a view of what's really happening out there. Wendell, I want to ask you another real quick thing about your children garden up there. I think that's really cool. Tell the listeners about what you do out there around Lake Panasoffkee.
Thanks, John. Actually, it's one of the activities I'm most proud of. For the past 17 years, I've been teaching children how to grow food in a after-school program at our Sumter County Youth Center, which is equivalent to our Boys and Girls Club. And I just feel like it's really working with the younger people and trying to get them to eat a lot of these new perennial vegetables that are not really widespread yet is really important, and teaching them how to compost and that all insects are not our enemies. I think it's one of the most meaningful things I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was Wendell. And he's up in Lake Panasoffkee, and he's going to be one of the presenters at this year's Permaculture Conference. Rob, maybe we ought to go ahead and open up the phone lines and give out our email address.
Yeah, if you want to talk to our guest today about the Florida Permaculture Convergence, you can call us up at 813-239-9663, and you can send your email in to us here in the studio at dj@wmnf.org.
Rob, do you know what permaculture is? Maybe we ought to get a definition from somebody. Wendell, what is permaculture?
Permaculture is basically derived from two words, permanent agriculture. Mm-hmm. And it really is trying to, it's a farming method that really mimics the processes of nature. And that's how nature is much more sustainable than humans have shown to be. So I always, whenever I see a beautiful forest, I always ask people, who maintains that forest? You know, and it's all those nature's processes, the nutrient cycle, and just so I think that in a nutshell is what permaculture is. How about you, John?
Ask
Jenny.
Jenny.
absolutely. All of that. And I would add that permaculture is actually a design toolkit. It's a set of principles for mimicking the way that nature works. We humans have become accustomed to overriding and fighting the way nature works. So we squander a lot of energy, and we also end up having dysfunctional communities. So permanent plus culture, the original, originally conceived by Mollison and Holmgren, its founders, it was originally conceived to mean permanent agriculture, but they also further quickly realized, and it's the whole kit and caboodle, it's permanent culture, the whole culture. It's how we build, it's how we design our organizations, it's every single aspect of the human built environment.
And you know, it has principles, and I guess there's maybe 12 or so principles, and I really think that these are guidelines for sustainable living. And I was going to say that you mentioned this is how old? I mean, when did they start? When did this word get coined?
I think 1981. Excuse me, Jenny.
1981, yeah.
Yeah, 1981 was the first permaculture design class was held in Australia.
Rob, we got anybody on the phone?
John, what are you laughing at?
Well, I was looking here. I'm looking in the book, and I'm reading about permaculture, and it says 1970s. Two Australians were concerned about the way people were farming, industrial farming, and this is what it kind of started.
Back in the heyday of Back to the Land, right?
Yeah. You know, it was kind of funny. You know, I got this book, and I wanted to interview the guy, but it's on sustainability.
What's the name of the book?
Sustainability, A History by Jeremy Corradona. Okay. And it's pretty interesting how, you know, like the roots of the root of the word is kind of goes way back, but in the 16th or the 17th century that the Germans were cutting down all their forests, and that word came into being as far as, well, we got to start sustaining it. But it really kind of disappeared until the 60s. And what, Rachel Carson, Silent Spring. And those books kind of started coming out about, you know, people were getting these cancers. But it's kind of interesting that then this agricultural change, the Holmberg and what was the other...
Mollison.
Okay.
All right. So our guests are Wendell Martinkovic, and Wendell, I hope I pronounced your name correctly, and yes. Also here, Jenny Nazak. Jenny, did I pronounce Nazak correctly?
Yes. It probably was pronounced Nazak back in the old country, so that wasn't incorrect either, but yeah, we do Nazak here.
Okay, and both are presenters at the upcoming Florida Permaculture Convergence. That takes place December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Sebastian, Florida. The website is floridapermacultureconvergence.com. That's where you can find it online. And Wendell has brought a young person with him, too, and she's kindly agreed to sit quietly. Thank you so much. Is that your daughter? Oh, that's John's daughter, granddaughter.
That's my granddaughter.
All right.
Didn't recognize her.
I didn't recognize her. Okay.
She's been here to Tormentis before.
John, what's your granddaughter's name?
What's your name? Can you tell everybody what your name is? Her name is Shy.
Her name is Shy, really?
Yeah.
No, it can't be Shy. Is your name really Shy?
She's Haley.
Haley, how are you? Haley, if at any point you want to jump into the conversation, please do. Seriously.
Yeah,
you could be the second generation of John's show. All right, she's pulling up her pink hoodie. So she's okay. And Haley, thank you so much for coming. I know it's tough to sit here for an hour. So we're going to take some phone calls. Our phone number 813-239-9663. You know, there's so much I wanted to ask you guys as you were talking with John. Like, how do you do permaculture? How do you do how do you do an outdoor composting toilet when people are coming camping for the event? And this is something that, you know, people might get squeamish about, but how do you do it so that you're not assaulting the environment when you're out there? What do you do? And Wendell, you want to take that?
Sure. Good question, Rob. Actually, we build really simple little shelters with palm fronds and whatnot, just to give some privacy. And then we really just found that the easiest way is just to use these old bedside commodes, these aluminum bedside commodes that you put a 5-gallon bucket in there, and you have a second bucket with the cover material and a scooper, and we have a little direction sheet and tell people how to do it properly, and they do their business, and then we had a 250-gallon tote that all these 5-gallon buckets would all be dumped into a big 250-gallon tote.
But you're putting cover material on after you use the facility?
Yes,
What's the cover material?
The cover material is any kind of organic matter, usually like a woody mulch or...
Like sawdust?
Sawdust works.
Yeah.
Peat, whatever you have available. Actually, I think a big challenge in urban areas is what's used for cover material. But when you realize that our urine and feces makes up such a small amount of this, and when we mix it with this dry organic material, it's starting to decompose quickly, versus when we take that urine and feces and mix it with water, then it really becomes actually a pollutant. And then we have to figure out how to have a sewage treatment plant to clean it up. But practically speaking, maybe it's the type of people that come to convergences. They don't go to conferences. They go to convergences to try to affect change. But no, it's a great question. And
how long before you can use it as a fertilizer?
We try to keep ours for 1 year, and then we try to use our human or compost primarily as in our perennial crops, not in annuals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
why is that?
Just as a safety concern, just because you feel like the things like leafy greens and things like that, I think you might not want to risk any contamination.
And do you mix it in with your regular compost pile?
Actually, when I empty mine, I put them right in the orchard and then cover that with another pile of organic matter, woody mulch that I'm remulching the fruit trees with.
Okay, all right. And again,
John has a different system a little bit.
You want to tell us about it, John?
Well, you know, it's been quite a while, but I had this, there were missionaries, and they were going to Africa, and they were really into, all this different appropriate technology, and they got me plans for this solar composting toilet, which is a bin. It's like those big totes. You know, you've seen the totes are 275 gallons that they come in the wire bat cages. And usually those things photodegrade on the top. You know, if you don't paint a plastic like that, usually they photodegrade just like something laying out on the beach for a long, long time. But you can get them real cheap, and you cut off the top and you put that bin in there and you start with a little bit of cover material, and then you use it and you put a little cover material in it each time you use it, and then you hoe it like to a different position in that that thing. And I was going to say, like, the cover material actually keeps the flies. You know, you don't want the flies, you know, and you cover that up, and it covers up the smell, too. So, you know, eventually, though, you do have to do something about it. Jenny, you want to talk a little bit about those?
I was going to talk about there.
you know, I'm a big fan of Joe Dinkins, and one of the things he points out in his book is that people who compost their manure tend to adopt a very, I forget the words that he used, but it's kind of like a healthily casual attitude, as in not freaked out by human feces. I mean, honestly, if a person gets used to composting human manure, and as Wendell said, how quickly it breaks down when it's combined with the cover materials and so on, I'm a lot more squeamish about crapping into water than I am about using
compost. And, you know, like,
plumbing is a billion-dollar industry, and you don't have any plumbing leaks with a composting toilet. It's wonderful.
You know, and you know, I kind of moving mine around. I just can't believe the worms that will be in that compost, and it's just like you say. And you know, Joe Jenkins, you know, they use in his book, he talks about using the bucket, you know, and they use the bucket in the house. And like the question for Rob, he actually used his, put it in a pile with his other compost, but. You know, it's just like I say, it's a really fun book to read. It's funny. It's very funny, a cool book to read. And I recommend everybody should have it, you know, just to have the information.
Give copies of it away to your local officials and anyone else who's receptive.
You know, it's just like we had the hurricanes and we didn't have water. And, you know, people were going like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And it's, you know, like Wendell says, it's so easy to have one of those little chair things. You know, you find them on the curb all the time because, you know, people don't, you know, like, a portable toilet for sale on Craigslist doesn't bring anything.
Right.
So they're usually sitting out there. You get them free, and you got that. And you can, you know, like Wendell says, you can go out in the backyard and just get some leaves, moss.
Right.
Grass clippings, whatever, just cover it up and then bury it.
Jenny, you mentioned biochar pizza ovens. Let's switch gears a little bit on that, or was it Wendell that mentioned it? Anyway, we were talking about
Joe Pierce from Micanopy will be presenting the biochar pizza oven. He does a lot of the rocket stoves and last year, so I'm not too knowledgeable about the biochar pizza oven.
Just remind us what biochar is, though.
Biochar is what people have found is that over centuries ago, they found deposits in Central America, South America, and in Africa where people took low depressions and put organic matter and then covered it with soil, and they were able to farm there for centuries. So basically, biochar is you burn that organic matter a little bit, and then they smother it with, just the way they make charcoal in developing countries as well. Then you actually have to charge that charcoal, which actually is used with urine and feces is one way they charge it. And it absorbs all those nutrients and then slowly gives those nutrients back.
I see. Charging means putting nutrients into the charcoal.
Correct,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Because, you know, when I think of coal-fired ovens, I think that pizza tastes really good. When you go to a place that has a coal-fired oven pizza, that tastes great. So if there's a way to do it without burning coal.
Exactly, yes.
It's got to be wonderful, but still with the same effect. Yeah. Well, again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Jenny, it strikes me that some of the skills that are going to be talked about at the Permaculture Convergence are really survival skills, too. That is that if you're worried about how to survive in the woods or you know, maybe something happens to you and you're not near. Yeah, go ahead. Talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, how to survive in the woods or how to survive on an urban landscape where there's a big hole in this stock of affordable housing for workers. I mean, the permaculture lifestyle is a way to survive well a natural disaster like the hurricane that most of us were affected by. There's too many people out there who think that hurricane preparedness means buying a bunch of bottled water and like fighting over pieces of plywood in the Home Depot. And a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is very much self-reliant. When I came home from last year's hurricane evac, our house's water had been cut off, but I had my rain barrel in the backyard, and I was able to distribute a few gallons of water to each of our four units. Now, it didn't occur to me that a lot of the people were going to use the water to flush their toilet because they hadn't been like peeing in a jar or using a compost thing. But hey, you know what? It was a step in educating people like, hey, look, here's some fresh water. But that's just one example. It's also, permaculture is a useful toolkit for developing a really thrifty lifestyle. And when I say thrifty, I don't mean stingy. I mean you really save your resources for the things in life that you value that are really important. And you cut out things that are subtracting value or just squandering resources. And so it turns out to be a great lifestyle for a person who's trying to pursue a really meaningful livelihood. I mean, it's really a great lifestyle for any kind of survival, literally out in the woods and also in the figurative woods of you know, various life challenges. If that makes sense.
It does. And Wendell, you talked about perennial vegetables that people are not, they're not popular yet with people that, you know, those of us that might try to eat potatoes or broccoli every day. What are some of the perennial vegetables that you're advocating?
I'd say one of the most popular ones right now is moringa.
Yeah.
You can get moringa dried and fresh at the markets. Okinawa spinach and longevity spinach.
Let's talk about moringa for just a second. It's a tree.
Yes,
that grows
exactly.
Really well here in Florida.
Correct.
And what can you use the tree for?
Well, mostly just for food. You can also feed that to livestock. The leaves can also be fed to livestock.
So you can turn the leaves into salad. It doesn't have seeds on it?
It does have a big pod, yes. Yeah. It does have a big
and
pod.
And are the seeds edible?
I don't know, John. Are they?
We actually, this is kind of another one of my crazy stories. But my brother and I started farming in the 90s, and we had this person from India, and of course he was living in this country, and we were sending vegetables, and we actually grew moringa trees in our farm. You know, we just started and put these little trees in, and we didn't think nothing about it. Within 2 years, the things were gigantic, over 30 feet, and that they called them drumstick trees because the seed pods look like drumsticks, and somehow these people from the Asian countries cook those, and that's all I know. I never ate them. They always seemed kind of tough, but I don't know. Jenny, do you know anything about those or the moringa?
I really don't. I'd like to know more, but no, I really don't.
They actually look like okra pods that are kind of big. Actually, where we live in Sumter County, we don't ever get it to make pods.
Because it's too cold up there.
Because it dies back in the winter.
You get a freeze.
Yeah. Correct, yes.
But as I remember it, now we probably need to do a show on moringas, that the roots had some kind of value too. Like the whole tree had value.
So, Wendell, what are some of the other perennial vegetables that you think people should take a look at as a source for food that we may not be thinking of right now?
One thing I'd like to think is that these people can put these plants in their landscapes. A lot of these plants, the Okinawa spinach is a beautiful, it looks like a wandering Jew. It has a purple on the bottom side of the leaf and beautiful green one. Longevity spinach is a sister of Okinawa spinach, a solid green leaf one. Those are just really, there's the purslanes that are really popular. There's, but what I find is that, you know, adults don't usually like to eat new foods. Yeah, that's why I really like working with children, because the children just take it and eat these leaves. I mean, adults just seem to be, like, even getting people to eat arugula sometimes. They're like,
purslane is what people spend millions of dollars every year trying to get rid of on their St. Augustine lawn, right?
That's correct.
And you can use it for a salad or all
right.
of it. Yeah.
Well, Rob, that brings up a really good point that I had a realization a few years ago, that most of the weeds that are actually in there, and they're mostly native plants too, it turns out, are edible. Okay, and we treat them as weeds, but in fact, those weeds are more nutritious than the domestic vegetables we grow now, because we've removed the bitterness from these wild plants, and the bitterness is where a lot of the nutrients are. Mm. So I really think that we've got it backwards. We need to start using that Spanish needle, which is known as Biden's, is a really bad weed, and
I eat it all the time.
Spiderwort is one that volunteers in my garden all the time, and the whole part of the spiderwort plant is edible. But the other thing that's important is I think that any place, they say, anywhere on the planet, about 10% of the vegetation growing around you is edible.
All right, so this is a little bit off topic, but are you a fan of The Walking Dead? Do you ever watch the TV show The Walking Dead?
No, sir.
Okay, good for you. Jenny, you don't watch The Walking Dead, do you?
But, no, I'm not familiar with it.
All right, so it's all about the rise of, it's like Night of the Living Dead, only it's like episode after episode after episode, right? So their food source is stuff that they've all hoarded, you know, canned foods and all that. But they live in beautiful southern Georgia with trees and grass everywhere. And I'm thinking that if they just come to the Permaculture Convergence Conference they wouldn't have to be fighting each other for food, they because it would be all around them. But they don't think of that in the show.
Well, aren't they zombies?
It's humans versus zombies, and there's good humans and there's bad humans. You know, it's just a stupid show. But I want to take them to the permaculture conference to show, hey, you don't have to be fighting over this stuff because food grows all around.
It's so true.
Of course, if you take those people to a convergence, one of the educational modules you'd need would be straight away, you'd need suburban soil remediation because there's a bunch of poisons being used to preserve those ornamental lawns. You'd have to do a module on raised beds or something. They'd be fine. They'd get to eat quickly.
Before the show this morning, I was out picking purslane and I sold it just a little bit ago. Just don't tell them it was a weed.
I'm always introducing my neighbors to everything that they can eat on their yard.
And they're amazed.
Yeah, they're like, really? Yes. Yeah. And I had a roommate who didn't even like vegetables, and I turned him on to chickweed. I go, it's just got kind of a cucumbery taste. And he's like, oh, my God. It really does taste like cucumbers.
Well, we're talking about the Florida Permaculture Convergence Conference that takes place Friday, December 1st, December 2nd on Saturday, and December 3rd over in Sebastian, Florida. And the website for the conference is floridapermacultureconvergence.com. And our guests are Wendell Martinkovic, and also here is Jenny Nazak, along with John Butts. And this is the Sustainable Living Program on WMNF in Tampa. If you've got a question for us, call us up at 813-239-9663. You can also email a question into us here in the studio, our address, dj@wmnf.org. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663.
You know, we talked just a little bit about biochar. And I, you know, the thing with soil, and I think they're finding out more and more about this, that this is the best place to sequester all this extra carbon that's in the atmosphere. And also, I was going to say, Wendell's yard. He's got the most beautiful yard with all these perennial vegetables and different kinds of things growing, and you were showing me the coffee. That's pretty interesting. That coffee.
You could grow coffee in Sumter County.
Yes, we're harvesting Arabica coffee beans right now. Yes, the second year in a row. Yeah,
and there is a native. You know, and this is the thing about weeds. A lot of weeds are actually what vegetables come from. They're just hybridized. You know, it's just kind of a different form of it. It's just like I remember up in California, I was hiking with my brother, and there was all this wild mustard everywhere, and it was like the mustard I ate, you know? It was just kind of truly amazing. What about Kurtuk? Wendell, what do you know about that?
That you have a lot of it growing in your farm. It's taken over your farm, John, I think the Kurtuk is.
Well, it's a weed, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a weed, and I think the thing about the weeds is they're more nutritious than the domesticated foods we eat. The thing is, they have the little bit of bitterness, and I think we've evolved to not really like bitterness right now.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the purslane, you know, I think Debbie looked it up on Green Dean. What is it? Eating the Weeds site that
Weeds.com, yeah.
Yeah, how nutritious and how many vitamins, and it just goes off the scale on this stuff. Yeah, you know, it's just truly amazing what these weeds are.
I just wanted to add that the website is floridapermacultureconvergence.org.
Oh, .org. Just let people know. Okay. I keep saying the wrong thing.
What is it? FFL, right? FL Permaculture Convergence, right?
Correct, yes.
.org. Okay, also, sorry about that.
I just wanted to mention also that on both Friday and Saturday night, we will be having a fire circle and an open jam and dance, you know, so just let people know to bring their instruments.
Are you going to be dancing, Wendell?
I hope so. I hope so. I'm bringing Nancy, my bride, so I hope I'm dancing.
Cool. Jennifer, you know, I guess it was the last year's conference that you kind of talked about this, you know, it's a lot to do with the human mind that we're dealing with here, and I think you kind of covered that very well. Maybe kind of bring that up, your thoughts about, you know, why don't we cooperate? You know, what's going on?
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. I think human beings can, we some of us at least have an extremely high intention to cooperate, but all of us have barriers within our own consciousness. There are certain, yeah, it's just different kind of glitches in human consciousness. And so an important way to make our outer landscape sustainable is also to work on what some of us like to call the inner landscape. So there are ways to increase one's compassion. There's actual techniques for doing that. There's actual techniques for practicing forgiveness. It can be hard to forgive when somebody's had a really been very wronged or just feels traumatized by something, but to be able to learn techniques for practicing forgiveness. And the more it's kind of like making your consciousness more supple as opposed to rigid, getting more flexible and open. And as we do that, each person does that within themselves, there's a spontaneous state of cooperation that arises among people.
Cool. And Wendell, isn't one of the workshops on NVC, nonviolent communication, or did I misread that?
No, that's correct. Yeah, Keith Lopez will be doing a presentation on nonviolent communication,
which I think is really cool.
Yes.
Well, are you familiar with that, Jenny?
Yes, I'm very keen on nonviolent communication. I think it was back in 2004 that I met somebody who was very into it, and I ended up buying the book and reading it and practicing it. I started to notice inside of myself that while I was trying to be more mindful in my verbiage, I also noticed inside of myself that there was violence within myself. So even if I managed to use a more peaceful verbiage, there was still this inner thing that needed to be worked with if I really wanted my communication to be nonviolent, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really fell in love with the topic. There was a woman that visited us, and she left this little book on her table, and it sat around the house for maybe a year. And I started reading it, and it's really become part of my life. You know, to understand why I was turning people off.
Yeah,
which I may be doing right now, but there is a way to open the door instead of slamming it shut. You know this being judgmental and demanding, and even with children they don't work. And we're having a great time with our grandkids, and we use that on them, and it seems to work.
Well, let's take some phone calls. We're gonna go to Tom, who's in Lakeland. Hey, Tom, you're on. We're talking about the permaculture convergence. So, what's your question?
Hey, no, I just didn't have a question particularly. Hi, WMNF. John, I'm going to thank my compadres. I'm a part of the organizing committee for the convergence, and I just appreciate Wendell coming down and Jenny being on the line. Real excited about this year's event, and also want to mention again the grant endowment program. We decided to take our funds from last year, and then we're going to be doing this every year, and sending them back into community. We have about 7 grant applications that are being voted on right now, and anyone can go to the website and see who they are. They're people with permaculture projects throughout the state, and you can vote for any of those applications as the winner for this year's program. And there was a couple other names of presenters I wanted to add. We have Lee Perry coming to talk, and Terry Meir from Kashi.
Oh, wow.
Kashi Sustainability Program will be speaking, and also Jungle Jay will be there presenting something at the conference.
And Tom, you're going to be a presenter, right? What's your... Tell us about what you're going to talk about.
We're going to talk about the human role in healthy ecosystems. And it's going to be a discussion with Jay and Bill Bilodeau and myself, and we're going to include the audience in a exploration of what it is we can do to contribute to the health of the ecosystem.
Cool, Tom.
All right, Tom, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, good to hear from you. Here's a Ted who's writing in. He says, are there any consultants that would come to my property and assist in the initial layout and planning for more sustainable living? That's Ted who's out there in cyberspace.
Well, I'm sure there's a bunch of permaculture designers. Now, I don't know if there's, you know, how people would connect. I know Corey Brennan teaches. Yeah,
Corrine Brennan in Brooksville is doing a lot of teaching. Pete from Green Dreams in Spring Hill. I guess it depends on where you live in Florida.
You know, and of course, the St. Pete Eco Village was on last 2 weeks ago, and they talked about that they're going to be doing classes in the St. Pete area, kind of on this theme of sustainable living and permaculture. So I don't know. I'm sure there's other stuff. Google permaculture designers. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, I think that if they just go to every one of your past guests, John, okay. They should listen to every show and then take notes. And then here's an 813 area code question. Will there be camping at this event?
Yes, there will. That camping is the most common lodging available, but there also is indoor lodging available. There's definitely, we have good campsites right along the river. Beautiful setting there at Kashi Ashram.
Okay, we're kind of winding down. Maybe again, when is the convergence and where? And how can people find out more, Wimble?
The Florida Permaculture Convergence will be December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Sebastian at Kashi Ashram. You can go to FloridaFLPermacultureConvergence.org to register for the event. And you can also contact us at that site for any questions you have. I'd like to also say that Tom called in, Tom Carroll. He's on our committee, and he has been the rock that has organized this event. He's done it the second year in a row. It wouldn't be where we were without Tom.
Great. And Wendell, if people might want to visit your little permaculture project up in Lake Panasoffkee, is there any way people could contact you for, you know, questions or guidance in your area?
My email is wendelfm@yahoo.com.
Jenny, any closing comments? You there?
Hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You're there.
Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to comment to the gentleman asking about consulting. That is one route, and I would encourage anyone to, by attending the convergence, you can learn. You are the best expert on your own property, and by attending the convergence, you can learn some techniques and get some ideas. And also connect up with a bunch of people who offer various kinds of designs and consultancy and education services. I think it's a fantastic investment to come to the convergence. And we'd love to see you.
Can we read these emails real quick, Rob?
Yeah, Scott says, I have several rows of organic vegetables growing in my yard to sell to my neighbors. What should I use to put, for instance, the broccoli that is earth-friendly in instead of Glad bags? So what kind of packaging should I use if I'm trying to sell broccoli to my neighbors? John has the answer.
Rubber bands.
Okay.
Right.
All right, rubber bands. And 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And here's an email from ZMW. They say, is the permaculture convergence geared toward any particular audience, i.e. novices or those already in the industry, or a combination? That's the question.
Quickly, Wendell.
I would think a combination.
So if you're a novice, don't be afraid to show up.
Correct.
Yeah. Don't be afraid.
Okay.
All right. I forgot to mention real quickly, every morning at 7 a.m., they'll have a yoga class on a floating dock surrounded by statues of Jesus, Buddha, and Krishna. It's a wonderful setting.
All right. Well, that's the voice of Wendell Martinkovic. Wendell, thanks a lot, and good luck with the coffee. I got to find out more about that.
Thank you for having us today.
You do olives up there, too?
You do? Yes,
okay.
We do olives,
all right.
Yes.
I got to ask you about that sometime. And Jenny Nazak, thank you so much for coming on WMNF.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure, as always.
And the website is flpermacultureconvergence.org. And, John, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
I hope so.
And, Haley, thank you so much. Thank you. You were great. You were really great. Okay. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Stay tuned because we're going to have the latest news from NPR that's coming up in just a moment. Remember, at 12 noon today on the Midpoint program, Sean Canaan will have a discussion about how the tax bill making its way through the U.S. Senate will affect students. So that's a really important issue. So stick around for that at 12 noon today. And radioactivity coming up next in 5 minutes. This is 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg.